Last month, President Bush cited government-sponsored research showing that teen drug use has declined during his administration. But New York Times op-ed columnist Charles Blow took a second look at the numbers and found that actually cocaine has resisted that downturn, with usage staying essentially flat since 2001. However, white and Hispanic teens are far more likely than blacks to use cocaine. Charles Blow is an op-ed columnist for our partner, the New York Times, and he joins us here in our studio. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
So how do you explain those differences, and not only differences, but differences that have grown exponentially in the last 7 years between whites and black teenagers using cocaine?
Well, I talked to a lot of experts, and there are a lot of rationales, but nobody quite seems to be able to get their hands around it. One part of it may be that black teens are just saying no. Either because they're more optimistic in this environment or because they're scared to death. They saw the crack epidemic up close. They saw, you know, the heroin epidemic farther back. Your parents maybe even saw that. But there's a scare factor. The other part, though, may be part of pop culture. You can find tons of rap songs that glorify the sale of drugs, but you can find very few that to say anything about the use of drugs, and in fact, they've demonized and kind of made a mockery of any kind of drug use among African Americans. Everything from the Chappelle Show, you know, if you look back all these shows, they kind of make that a joke, and so the black kids are less likely to.
They've moved up the distribution chain there, exactly. In a sense. Does that mean that crack has run its course as a product?
I don't think the crack has necessarily. You know, it's not out of the picture. It's just that it's very cheap now, and therefore there's less money to be made by gangs from selling it, and so it kind of lost favor. Also, the kind of images that you got from people who use crack made it not a very cool thing to do anymore.
That it's really fascinating, and when you look at some of the numbers, they're actually quite startling. I mean, in your editorial, you write about how by 2006, white admissions outnumbered those for blacks by more than 10 to 1 for rehab facilities.
Right, that's true. I mean, and no one there could explain that number either, the rise in that number, because what you would expect is that for other drugs, you would have seen where the rate stayed relatively the same, you would have seen the same uptick. This is the crack and cocaine, which is how they characterized it. I don't know if it's really fair to lump both those into one group, but they did so. That rise is relatively inexplicable. One way you can look at it is to say maybe there are now these new juvenile drug courts, and they try to steer kids into rehab programs instead of sending them to juvenile detention. But the problem is that program has been going since 1995.
I was going to say, they've been around for, exactly. They've been debated and implemented in states really in the early 90s.
Exactly. And what you would expect to see is also a rise in number of African Americans who are going to rehab because the drug courts are equal, are available to everyone. We don't see that. There may be a cultural gap where white families may be more open to the idea of sending kids to rehab. We don't know that either. What we do know is that there seems to be an increased need for rehab for crack and cocaine for white kids every year, and that increases. And because we're looking at kids 12 years old to 17 years old, that means that these kids, this is a new crop of kids every year that you're looking at because they
They're starting 11, the 12-year-olds. But there's one thing that all of the teenagers are sharing, which is this sense that cocaine is not dangerous.
Yes, that keeps going down. There are two things in that. The younger the kids are, the less likely they are to view it as a dangerous thing. So the rate of people who think it's risky in their eighth grade is like less than 50%.
Wow.
As they get older, they get a better sense that it's a risky behavior. But even on all those measures, it's going down. And that's what's making people a little nervous.
I'm surprised that there are so many unanswered questions. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of people who work on this every day, whether you're talking about academics or you're talking about people in the medical field or in, you know, mental health and so on. Are they asking the questions? Is research being done to take a look at why these two groups are dealing with the drug cocaine so differently?
I don't think there's nearly enough. Just based on my research for this column, calling around to a lot of drug experts, I don't think that there's a lot of focus on the cocaine issue, even though it's not going away. If you just think back yourself about how many PSAs have you seen for crack or cocaine in the last, you know, 5-10 years, they're virtually non-existent.
That's right.
There's marijuana, there are painkiller PSAs, there's methamphetamine PSAs. Cocaine is completely off the radar.
And it's also shifted. It's like, eat with your kids so they don't do drugs generally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kids never hear the word cocaine.
That is so interesting. Charles Blow, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.